I'm good.
Okay. Unique New York. Unique New York.
Red leather, yellow leather.
I can't remember any other one. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. If Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers...
I like you just immediately derailed into nonsense.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. This is just... It's so good that we work in an audio medium so that I can really demonstrate how good I am at Word. Make Word with face. Okay. Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors that has been absent for a while. We're sorry about that. My name is Matt.
I'm Cliff.
Hey, joke about how we just did an episode last week, etc., etc.
Feels just like yesterday.
Except it wasn't, because it's been a while.
It was many yesterdays.
So yesterday. Sorry. That's partly my fault because I changed jobs again, and apparently every time I do that, we stop recording.
I mean, life disruptions do make it difficult to schedule it's up true, and yeah. stuff. So, yeah, it happens.
Yeah. So, hi, Cliff. How are you?
Well, I got a bit of a problem, my friend Matthew.
Oh, good. We're still friends.
So, you know how the human body, it has a wazoo, right?
Yep.
Every human body has a wazoo.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is just crammed full of games I've been playing. Like, wazoo.
Like, more than the wazoo can hold?
Oh, like, way more. Like, wazoo is just spraying it everywhere at this point.
Oh.
Coating the walls and everything.
You could almost say you have games coming out of the wazoo. Because
exactly.
They won't all fit in there.
Yeah, I played a lot of games in the off time we've had.
That's good.
Completed some, not completed others. I mean, some you can't complete, but... Yeah, I played a lot.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well, we should talk about that. Like we should do a podcast about that.
We should. Conveniently, we're recording a podcast right now. So let's talk about it.
Shit, that's what's happening.
So yeah, I played a bunch of games, and we'll go through a lot of them. Some of them you probably haven't played. In fact, I'm certain you haven't played a few of these, but some of them you probably have.
That tends to be the trend, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll throw them out there, give a bit of a lowdown. And, you know, impressions and stuff. Or if anything really bugged me or I loved, I'll go through it. Interestingly, because now that... We're not going to do news today, but the Master Chief Collection is now coming out on Steam and PC and shit.
I did see that this morning, actually, yeah.
So weirdly, I've been playing a lot of Halo 1 and 2 before this came out. I've been playing... I finished Halo 1 for the first time because I never finished it before. And I'm about 3/4 through Halo 2 at the moment on the Master Chief. It looks nice on my 4K TV, upscaled and shit.
Yeah, I only played through anything past Halo 1 when the Master Chief Collection came out, and I bought an X-Bone because it was just an easy collection to do it with. I actually really enjoyed playing my way through the games and learning sort of the actual story of the Halo games past the point where I stopped participating on them on PC many moons ago.
Yeah, a lot of shit happens. A lot of people go on about them, so I thought, you know, I'm a sci-fi nerd. I should probably play this sci-fi game. Halo 1 is a really average game. Like, there's nothing really
by
special
today's
about
standards,
it.
Yeah, like, it definitely set some interesting standards for games.
Even
though.
Back in the day, I was never overly impressed with it because I did play PC, like a little bit on the PC.
Yeah, it had unique weapons. Then the kind of wide corridor nature of its linear gameplay was pretty cool. And the Warthog was really good for vehicles in games at the time, I guess.
Halo vehicle controls are bullshit and stupid.
Oh, they're 100% bad.
I've got
other games to refer to with that particular quibble later as well.
Yeah, that's junk. But like Halo 1, like I get it was big because it was kind of the first big, like multiplayer kind of experience that generation kind of had. For Microsoft anyway. It made... it was like the cut on the golden eye for Xbox. That's what it was. It was big. But it was not great. It didn't do anything really new. Did a couple of things that were like, oh, that's kind of cool. But it was no... there are games at that period that are way better games. First-person shooter games. Yeah. Halo 2, on the other hand, they threw money into that shit. And that's really good. Like, it's really quite good. So I'm really quite happy with Halo 2. The production value and everything. There's still some shitty like corridors where, look, I'm running through a hallway and then into a room and then into the same hallway again, but on the other side of the room. And yeah.
And yeah, some of the level design was a little bit labyrinthine when
shit,
it didn't need to be.
Is what you're trying to say. It was shit.
Also, starting the game off by having to deal with the flood, no thanks. Like, I tried playing that on Xbox 360 way back when, and I was just like, no, I played Halo 1 on keyboard and mouse, and that's what I want now, because these things run up and down walls, and I am not
and
a
they're
fast
fucking
shooter.
Tiny as well, and they jump
exactly.
And shit. So
there's bazillions of them.
But anyway, we shouldn't dwell too much on a particular game, because we've got lots to get through here.
Yeah, I did want to also mention, though, if we're talking about that, interesting that they're doing that because Halo Infinite is around the corner, which is meant to be like a soft reboot of the franchise. Also, rumor has it that at PAX East next week, they'll be revealing news about Borderlands 3.
I did hear the rumors that it was going to be, at the very least, E3. So everyone's expecting it this year sometime, so it'd be cool if it was at PAX next week.
Yeah, well, actually... there was a thing that Gearbox posted to their like news blog, which was a very Borderlands-esque sign.
So with cryptic, not cryptic.
The date and Boston, Massachusetts written on it. And I think that's where PAX East is.
Cool. So they basically said, yes, we're going to be there, and yes, we're going to show Borderlands.
We're
going
to be talking about something, yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's almost made me want to go back and replay the Borderlands games, but... that's a whole time commitment, so I'm not doing that.
I just reinstalled Pre-Sequel, because I never actually got to that. I got to two. Still got a couple of DLCs to go in two. One DLC to go, but never actually got the Pre-Sequel played. I played the very start, and that was it. So I'm going to go through it again. But anyway, we're digressing. More games.
Yeah. Did you play the Tiny Tina DLC in Borderlands 2? Because that was amazing.
The D&D one?
Yeah.
I started playing it, but I wanted to play it with some mates, but then we got sidetracked and stuff.
I played through it with a friend. Like, that's actually, like, a really nice story. Like, I like the whole framing device of that, her way of dealing with Roland's passing in the storyline of Borderlands 2. Spoilers, but who cares? It's been years.
Yeah, it was funny that she's like, yeah, when he gets back, and everyone's like, yes, let's just play this game the young girl wants us to play.
Yes, the young explosions girl.
Yeah. All right, so moving on.
Yes.
I managed to get a review copy of a game that's been out a long time ago that I don't really remember, but I played it. I'm like, wow, yeah, this I don't really remember this at all. Toe Jam and L.
Oh, yeah. That was a thing.
Boy, that game is fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
Super weird. I don't really know how to describe it, except it's 90s as fuck.
Yeah, it definitely is that.
Yeah, it's something else. It layers on the funk real heavily. Yeah, this game is it's a certain, I guess, subculture of Black America.
Okay. Yeah, I never really played Toe Jam and Earl back in like the Mega Drive days or whatever.
I mean, they're aliens, but no, they're funky black dudes. Like 100%. Yeah.
Aren't they from the planet Funk or something ridiculous?
Something stupid like that. The music is actually kind of weirdly loud in the version I played anyway. I don't know if they changed or anything like that. By default, the music was way loud and everything else was kind of scaled back. But it is a super weird, like, cartoony style. I don't really know how to describe it. You should just kind of check it out. I remember playing it back in the day when it originally came out, because I think this is a remake of the original games.
Yeah.
But I don't really remember it. And then I played this game, like, I don't know if I actually did play it now. But I have, you know, it's that memory where I don't remember the actual thing, but I remember it. And I think I remember playing it, but maybe not. I don't know. It's weird, but it's got a very certain charm to it, but it's weird.
It's like a top-down explorer game or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like an isometric RPG-like, but not... at the same time, collecting spaceship parts.
Yeah.
At least at the start bit. All kinds of weird enemies. It's odd. Collecting money from various things.
Sure.
Yeah.
As you do.
It's weird. I'm doing a really bad job of explaining it because it's just so out there. You should just go and like check it out if you're interested at all.
Does it have a narrative that you can refer to?
I mean, you're trying to... like impress some girls in your spaceship and you accidentally crash land on Earth and got to collect the spaceship parts to build your spaceship again to escape.
Sure. Okay. Yep. Yeah. That's enough. That'll do it. Right. That's Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah. Moving on. I just purchased this because I managed to find it cheap, but I got the new Trials game as well. Trials Rising.
Rising, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty fun. I mean, it's that game
where you played a demo of it, yeah.
It's like, I love Trials. It's great. And then you play it for 10 minutes and you get to like that spot in like a level and you're like, I fucking hate this game. Like, fuck you. And then you put the controller down for 5 minutes and you come back.
Immediately, yeah.
Yeah, and it's one of those games that you love to hate it, and that's part of its charm.
Yeah. Yep, I know the feeling all too well.
Yeah. Lots of swearing. Just get the fuck over that tiny little, like, that barrel. Just, like, you just get over the fucking barrel, you piece of shit.
It's definitely the same experience I've been having as one of the games I've been playing for the last little while. To my great shame, I have been playing a mobile game. It is a game that I downloaded because I saw it as an ad in another game, which was one of those Skinner box click every 6 hours kind of games. And this ad, it seemed like a cute puzzle solving thing. It's like, oh, look at this messy kitchen, and they move all these icons, like, you know, use the vacuum cleaner to vacuum up the bad thing. And I was like, oh, that could be like just like a fun distraction if it's just a freebie game. Turns out that's not what it is. It's a Bejeweled game. So I've been playing Bejeweled, because the whole point is you're, like, trying to fix up this house, and you play the Bejeweled levels to get stars, I think it is, and then you spend stars to perform actions to tidy up the house, and you pick what the furniture looks like and all this stuff. It's totally pointless and dumb, but I keep playing it because it's really easy to just do in 2 seconds. But it's a Bejeweled game, so it's purposely unfair to encourage you to spend money to buy power-ups and shit. But I keep playing it. I keep doing it. I haven't given them any money yet.
That's exactly how those bullshit, samey puzzle games work.
Yeah, but there's one about... that was their first game that they made about tidying up the house, and then there's another one that's about tidying up the garden. So, yeah. That has been very frustrating, because it's just like, I hate you. I don't want to play you. You're dumb and unfair. And then I come back 5 minutes later.
It's like, where's my phone? I need to play that game.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. I've definitely been paying attention at work.
Of course.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, okay. I'm guessing you've got a bit of a list of games, so I might do one or two of mine.
Yeah, then. I got plenty more.
Oh, God. All right. Then I will inject one more of mine. Okay, so stretching back a little while, I play Kingdom Hearts 3. That came out. We didn't talk about that last time, did we?
I think we just touched on it when it came out.
Okay. Well, I finished it.
Do you have any understanding what happened?
No.
Cool. So, yeah, I mean, I can't really tell if that's proof that you finished it or not, because that holds up.
Look, some shit happened, and then some more shit happened, and there was a bunch of unanswered questions throughout the game, and then at the end of the game, they didn't answer them.
Something about hearts.
There was a lot of talk. The word heart gets used a lot, which is understandable. It is Kingdom Hearts. But yeah, there was an ending, and then I didn't go through all the rigmarole to earn the secret ending. I watched it on YouTube, like a person who has better things to do with his time. And that was just some nonsense, and I have no idea what they're going to do when they make the next game, but apparently there's a whole future ahead for Kingdom Hearts.
You don't have to worry your pretty little head about that, because you'll be dead by the time it comes out.
Yeah, I will be. Yeah. I mean, it was enjoyable, but I found that I was really just playing through the Disney Pixar worlds to get to the next bit of Kingdom Hearts-y story. And it was very spaced out. And yeah, in the end, I was just like, well, it's done. Like, I don't have to have a low-key thought running in the back of my head that one day Kingdom Hearts 3 will come out and I'll play it. So that's freed up some brain space, which is lovely. But like, I wasn't impressed. Apparently there might be story DLC at some point, so I'll be interested to see what that is, if they just inject extra Disney worlds or something, but who knows.
Yeah, I mean, I've never played one, but from what I've seen about them, yeah, I mean, you could well have finished it. I don't know.
I did. I finished it. I didn't do all the things because it just wasn't grabbing me anymore. Some of the worlds are also ridiculously long. Frozen takes so long.
And it's like the worst one too. It's the one of least substance.
Let it go. But there was a trailer for Frozen 2, and it looks like Elsa might have another elemental girlfriend.
I mean, It's frozen, so who cares?
Okay, Froggy. What else have you been playing?
All right, so I cracked out a bit more Red Dead Online because I did a couple of patches to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's still not great. Still not a lot to do in it. They seem to really want you... I saw a comment somewhere on the internet, and it seems to sum it up. So they seem to want to make this GTA Online.
Yeah.
But for Red Dead, when what people really want is to co-op cowboys with their mates.
Exactly.
So they seem to be going about the whole wrong way. Like, it's still annoying to, you know, people can still kill you. Like, I got shot in the middle of a town and somehow the cops or the sheriff doesn't go after the people when you get shot in the town. So they just got away with it. Like, I just don't. I want more stuff to do with my mates. Like, it'd be great to go on like an epic hunt, like hunt a legendary animal, but have it coordinated. Yeah. So it's like a heist, but hunting. Just stuff like that. Like, I want to go like cattle rustling, or I just want to do stuff with my mates in the world, do something on the fly. But it just seems to be geared more to PvP, which I think they don't really, I guess, get the charm of Red Dead, and that you don't want all that flashy bullshit. You just want to like hang out as a cowboy in the Wild West. But yeah, whatever. We'll see what the future has for it, assuming it actually makes it to a future. I played another game, which is pretty big at the moment, Apex.
Oh, this is the Titanfall thing.
Yeah, the Titanfall universe battle royale. I mean, I really wanted to like this game, but it was extremely frustrating to start because there's a tutorial for it, and it's like, here's guns, and here's how you fire guns. I'm like, well, that's cool game. I've known how to fire guns for my entire gaming life, so you don't need to teach me how to fire a gun. What I want to know is, what do the items do? What can I collect? How does the game actually work? What's up with this armor? It seems like it's heavily... like, you can have, like, about twice or three times as much armor as you can actually have health, and you know health comes off until you've chipped away all armor, and you can recharge your armor as well as your health. So basically, you can have, like, if you can just duck out of sight for, you know, 3 or 4 seconds, you can recharge your armor back to full, assuming you've got the, you know, the good stuff. So it's really difficult and annoying, and it's like smashing your face against a wall over and over and over again until you kind of get the hang of it. But you need to be in a group of three, and all three people need to be attacking the same target to chip away all armor and kill a person, and then kind of heal up a bit and then do it. So it's very tough. I wish it would actually kind of hold your hand a bit more and tell you what you were doing, because I get in the game like, I have no idea what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And I've dropped down and I'm dead because the map's a lot smaller than things like PUBG, so you basically encounter people straight away and you die. But once I got the hang of it, like I said, face smashing hard, I started to have fun with it, and it was kind of cool. I was playing online with a couple of randoms, and one dude was getting really pissed off that I wasn't doing everything perfectly that he wanted me to. I'm like, dude, like, I'm still learning, like, don't be a prick. He did not like that whatsoever. He then kept berating me and telling me I still wasn't doing the thing that he wanted me to do in the first place, even though he was dead. So I just walked out into a hallway, because it was me versus three enemies, and I just stood there. Nice. And, just died while he was berating me.
That's a good pass ag right there.
Yep. It was quite funny to me. So I played that. It's good.
To you.
It runs really, really well. Well, if you're going to berate me, I'm going to be, you know, going to be difficult about it.
Yeah.
Be constructive when you want someone to do something. Teach them if they say they're still learning. Which leads me on to another, well, let's say this could be very frustrating, but I've been playing some Tetris 99.
Oh, yeah, this thing.
Yeah.
How is it?
So there's no normal Tetris mode. So you can actually practice playing Tetris inside of, like, you know, all Tetris games are the same, but they're also different. Like, they work slightly differently. The timing's a bit different. Like, you want to get the hang of it, right? The only way to do it is to actually play a match. And, like, so you're up against 98 other people, and you can get smashed hard straight away. Because you can target, whenever you get lines out, you can add lines to other people. But you can select randomly by the person that's got the most knockouts, I think, by the person that's got the most badges, because you get badges as you knock people out.
Okay.
Or you can select someone's manually in the massive list. You can get targeted by like 5-6 people at once at the very start of the game, instantly go out. So I don't know how people keep consistently winning, because obviously I know that Tetris takes some skill when you're going at high speed.
Yeah.
Like, you're just in the zone. But it's so difficult to get there because you just get ganged up on so much. And it's random, so it's not like anyone's deliberately trying to do it. But you just get smashed, and you can go from like a perfect run to out in the space of like 5-10 seconds, if that.
Yeah, that's shitty.
So like, it's fun, but it's also infuriating at the same time. I haven't won a game yet. I got a couple. I think I've got like one top 10, but yeah, it's pretty brutal.
Well, that's fun. Yeah.
But you got any more games at all?
I do.
Sweet.
How's your list going? Because I was worried you'd have like 30 games.
We're about 2/3 through my main list. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Cool. What else have I been playing? I reviewed Metro Last Light. I don't remember if we mentioned that last time.
I think it was on the verge of coming out because we were mentioning how they kind of fucked over Steam pretty bad.
That's right. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I haven't completely finished it because I kind of got checkpointed in a weird spot where I'm stuck fighting a giant mutant bear with not very good weapons, and I need to check if I can go back to an earlier checkpoint. I enjoyed it though. Like, the open world kind of shitty Fallout vibe is fun. This feels like something I've said before, so I reckon we did talk about it. Anyway, played that. Still haven't finished it. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, now that they've released the straight washing fix, I have decided to go into the DLC, which is just more of the same. Like, it's fun, but it's still Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Formulaic, same shit.
But I did forget that they'd released the thing where you could have the cosmetic changes where you could wear armor and then make him appear in any set of armor that you've previously had. So I have him. Transmog
stuff, yep.
Yeah. So he's got a like full like end game loot kind of armor equipped, which is all very shiny and golden and detailed and intricate. But he appears as a greased up Olympics boy in a loincloth, because it's hilarious that he's going around in all these serious cutscenes about the murder of Xerxes, and he's just like glistening.
I've just got this image of Willy from The Simpsons, you know, grease me up woman.
Yeah, pretty much.
And
he's just
like slinking around in the all slick and whatnot in the air vents. But I'm thinking exactly that, but in like ancient Greece.
That's Alexios.
Mm.
So I've been playing that. And I've got one more set of games, but I'll wait till after your other stuff.
All right, cool. So my next game is it's a pretty quick one. But because I got the Nintendo Online thing, because we've got a family one, so you can have like a bunch of people getting cheap. Fuck yeah. So I'm paying, let's say, not a lot for my Switch Online dealio. I've been playing the Nintendo, you know, the NES old games. They have up. Dr. Mario, man. I got way into Dr. Mario.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was loving it. I was just sitting on the couch playing it nonstop. It was cool. I mean, everyone's played Dr. Mario or some version of Dr. Mario before. There's lots of games out there. Columns on Sega was pretty good.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
I really like that. So we'll get past that, but I did play that a lot for many hours. I've been playing Crackdown 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm having fun with it.
You don't sound angry, which is confusing to me, because everything I hear about this game is that it is garbo.
I mean, I never played Crackdown 1 or 2. So I went in going like, all right, this is going to be stupid and fun. And yeah, it's stupid and fun. Just blowing shit up, throwing cars, jumping real high.
Yeah, a lot of what I heard was that it hasn't really evolved the formula or brought it any more modern since the last games, but I guess if you don't have that frame of reference.
Exactly. So I'm having fun with it because I'm not expecting it to be a great game. I'm playing it free on Microsoft Game Pass, whatever it is.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I bought 2 months of Game Pass for $1 and I'm playing that. So that's pretty good. So I'm having fun with it. Like, there's a bit of Terry Crews, but he's not in it a great deal. I'm just having fun, like, running around just blowing shit up.
Fair.
Yeah, it's pretty good. The controls seem really shit when you first start, but the faster you get and the more, you know, you collect orbs and stuff, famously in Crackdown, the more agility orbs you get, the better you move, the faster, all that kind of stuff. The controls make a bit more sense when you start doing that, but it seems really dated and old when you're really slow. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun. I enjoyed it.
Nice.
Managed to get, you might have played this as well, because I think we got some review codes for it, but for Ape Out. Did you actually play Ape Out?
I have not yet.
Ooh, you should give it a crack. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You make weird jazz music when you beat the shit out of people and splatter their brains all over the wall.
Okay, no, I'm into that.
Yeah, it's got like really weird kind of You know, you'd be wandering around, there'd be like a jazz thing going on, and then you just beat up a bunch of people, and then like they bring in like really abrupt kind of drums, and the jazz builds up real quick all of a sudden when you do it, and it's like
Nice.
stylized blood going everywhere. It's actually quite fun. I haven't played a lot of it, but it was like, okay, yeah, this is like, I think it'd be good for if you've got a bit of you know, day hasn't gone great, you're a bit frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, you find your brain wandering to images of those that have wronged you over your life, suffering in a variety of creative ways. I think this could be fun. Just get in there and like jazz it up. I mean, I'm not a massive fan of jazz, but it's actually kind of works in this game.
Okay. Yeah, no, this sounds like it's worth checking out. Like, I did not envision the jazz angle on the Ape Escape game.
No, I just thought it was going to be some sort of like rampagey kind of deal.
Yeah.
No, it's like it's kind of own thing, like top down kind of deal where you just beat the shit out of people and like, yeah, blood splatters everywhere. Yeah, it's kind of fun. Like, check it out if you want to give it a go and have a look at it. Just do it. I suggest playing it though, so you actually get a feel for how the jazz builds up
Yeah.
and goes crazy.
I do like that kind of reactive music stuff where they've designed it in a way that it can kind of
Fit
meld to
in.
what you're playing or what you're doing.
Yeah, like it doesn't seem abrupt. It seems like it still fits with what was playing before.
Yeah.
To what gets played after. That's pretty fun. I've been playing a bit more Astroneer as well, because we've got a review copy of that.
Yeah, I have
And
put a bit of time into that.
yeah,
I
it's
like
fun.
it.
It's like very chilled out still. Just hanging out on a planet, building
Makes
stuff.
my computer make some very angry noises, though.
Oh yeah. Even though it's quite simple in terms of its visuals, it's obviously to make it look simple is actually quite a thing to pull off.
Yeah.
So, and the worlds are quite big. So yeah, it's good fun. I talked about it, I think, like last podcast, the one before. So,
Yeah.
just more
But
of the
it's still
same,
good.
but good same.
Nice. Very cool. And was that your complete list of games for the past little
I
while?
mean, it's not a complete list, but that's the highlight reel.
Nice. Well, the last games that I have been playing is kind of a surprise to me, and I was not expecting to enjoy it. But kind of on a whim, I decided to pick up Far Cry 5 on sale, which is the Far Cry with the cult in Montana, and I really, really, really enjoyed it. Like, I've played every Far Cry game that's come out except for Primal, but never gotten past like the first 20 minutes because I usually play them and then I'm just like, I don't like this. But yeah, something about Far Cry 5's like weird, like fuck yeah America setting and all of the doomsday preppers that apparently this section of Montana is very full of.
Not just Montana, whole country's weird.
But yeah, no, it really caught me, and like the gunplay is pretty fun. I was playing on easy because I just wanted to blast through and enjoy myself. Yeah, like lots of little puzzles to solve. You find a lot of bunkers where there's some sort of trick to getting into them to get the goodies. And the cult storyline is very weird, but
Mean, it's a cult, so
pretty
you know it's
fun.
gonna get weird.
Yeah, and all of the leaders of this cult are quite hot. Which is interesting. It's three brothers and a mysterious girl. Two of the brothers have man buns. So, very culty. And yeah, so I played that through, and I mean, Far Cry 5's been out for a little while. Do we think that the ending would be a spoiler at this point?
No, because they made a whole game
Yeah.
after it
Okay.
about the ending.
Yeah, so the whole point, the cult, the project at Eden's Gate. Which is why the cultists are known as Peggies, PEG. They believe the collapse is coming, that modern society is going to fall apart for some reason. And then at the end of the game, you finally arrest the leader of the cult after taking down all his lieutenants, aka his brothers and his weird hypnotized girlfriend or whatever. And then as you're arresting him and taking him away, nuclear bombs go off in the distance. And he's like, hey, look what I predicted. And then he drags the player character away to one of the bunkers, and they're trapped in there together. And he's like, "It's you think it's bad that you're trapped with me, but you know what's worse? I was right." And
What do I feel like he did, predicted nothing but caused everything somehow?
maybe. Well, I mean, all of their bunkers are missile silos, kind of the each of the lieutenants have a base of operations for their whatever. Yeah, so New Dawn, which is the kind of interstitial game set that was made after Far Cry 5, is 17 years later, same map, post-apocalypse, but it's not like bleak and barren apocalypse, it's pretty nature apocalypse. No mutant creatures, just like everything's gotten a little bit weird. So, like, the deer have zebra patterns and stuff like this, just to make it more outlandish and cool. And everything's got this kind of punky retro vibe, because basically this gang that's taken over now, the Highwaymen, they seem like they've gotten all their equipment and armor by raiding sports stores, so it has a very, like, paintball apocalypse feel.
Mm-hmm.
And they've... I don't know why they would have bothered, but there's cars scattered all over the landscape where it's just sort of like the one half of a car sticking straight up from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's meant to be that they got blown around when the bombs went off or whatever and then everything got buried in sand. Who cares? But they're all upright and painted like bright pink or bright blue. So it's just really cool and vibrant and pretty. And you can go around... You know, you can go into the game without having played Far Cry 5. Like, it's not required reading. But if you did, you get all these notes that are about characters you met in the first game or places that you visited in the previous game, but you don't necessarily recognize them because they've been apocalypsed or, you know, half buried or refitted. And the number of times I was going through the game that I was like, oh shit, I'm in blah, and didn't realize it was really impressive, because the whole point of their interstitial games is they reuse assets so they can make a game while they're working on the next mainline title. It happened with Primal, and there was another one before that.
Blood Dragon was on before
Blood Dragon, yeah. Thank you. Just, yeah, sort of reusing and modding assets so that they could mess around and make some money while they're building Far Cry 6.
And get a bit really... experimental and weird. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
have some fun with it.
It's like 17 years later after the apocalypse.
Take note, Bethesda. Have some fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I played through 5 and New Dawn, and now I've picked up a copy of Far Cry 4 on PS4, and I'm working my way through that as well. So apparently, now that I play Far Cry games, I'm straight. Surprise! Because these are like some of the most bro bullshit games. Especially Far Cry 5, which is all very like, America, fuck you! Yeah, that's what I've been playing, and I'm really enjoying it, and I don't understand why. What is happening to my life? When will a game I care about come out?
Probably not for a bit.
Yeah, there's a bit of a gap, that's the problem. Nothing till at least late March, early April.
Right, cool.
Speaking of late March, early April, late April, which is not one of the things I just said, is when the Avengers Endgame movie film comes out. And you and I have done some prep work in that we saw the movie that precedes that one, which is Captain Marvel.
We did. I saw it on Monday night. I took my girlfriend to see it.
Me too. I took my boyfriend to see it.
Yeah, my girlfriend knew we were going to go see it, but what I didn't tell her is I'm actually taking her to like whatever the Hoyt's local version of Gold Class is.
Oh, Lux. Is that what they call it now? Yeah.
It's pretty fucking great. I kind of do it again, but it's expensive.
Oh, it is redonk expensive.
But it's a great, great experience, and she was very impressed by that, so that was cool.
Nice.
Excellent branding points.
I did Hoyt's Lux for Into the Spider-Verse for my birthday last year. The price tag is impressive, but definitely a worthwhile experience for a movie you're really keen on.
Speaking of Into the Spider-Verse, I sacrificed my brain and eyes, and I've actually watched it. We can talk about it next week. Yeah.
Awesome.
I did end up with a headache and this really stiff neck and shit afterwards, so.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, don't you be sorry. Fucking don't do 2's bullshit. Proper frames. Don't cut shit out. Fuck you, Sony, whoever was in charge of that.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway,
Captain Marvel. Cool. So okay,
it's a film.
We're going to get spoilery here. As fuck. Stop listening here if you don't want any spoilers for it.
Yeah, because we're not going to hold back for anything I can remember about the film. If you're going to cut off at this point, thanks for listening. We'll hopefully be more regular going forwards. Just think of it as us taking podcast Metamucil.
I was about to make a Metamucil joke.
Thank you. I knew there was a reason we're friends. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll be ready to shit out another solid podcast for you next week, maybe. We'll see. Anyway, let's move on. Spoilers begin now.
It was good. I wouldn't say it was like it was outstanding in the MCU, but it was good. It wasn't terrible either. It was good.
Yeah, the thing I've found a lot with the Avengers or Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff recently is they don't always have the scale that I expect of Marvel films. Like, I think Iron Man especially set, like, a very, like, everything's pow, pow, pow kind of standard with the early films. And now they can have a quieter film that's more character-focused and driven rather than just flashy special effects. And it works, but it's not necessarily what I expect when I go in for a big-budget film. I did enjoy it very much.
Yeah, though. I think it... Have you actually checked out... what the ratings and stuff are like. I know Rotten Tomatoes is an actual, like, it's not a proper, like, rating system, but have you seen that, like, the
it's overall, done pretty well.
The overall, like, critically, yes, it seems to be doing all right. The audience one is a lot lower. I think it would be higher if it came out in November when we weren't on the eve of Endgame.
I think it would be higher if it came out and Captain Marvel was a man.
I don't necessarily think so.
See, this is the thing, like, the whining piss babies were all like, it'll never work, you can't do Captain Marvel because it's meant to be the guy one, and you can't make it without having the backstory for her, and she stole the title, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, whatever. It was a good film, and she's likable as a character.
I'm still not sold on Brie Larson, though.
Really?
I really think that Vikings girl, who I'm going to forget her name right now.
Yeah, I don't remember her name.
I reckon... She, well, I'm just not sold on Brie Larson. Like, Brie Larson was good in spots, but I think she went from one extreme to kind of the other, like, real quick. Yeah. And I couldn't see that. I couldn't follow her acting from one spot to the other.
I mean, here's the thing. You have a character with an amnesia storyline. They're necessarily blank for periods, which... It's understandable from a story point of view, isn't necessarily enjoyable from a character point of view.
All right. The chick, by the way, is Catherine Winnick. I'm going to send you a...
I know who you mean.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I've seen a bit of Vikings, and her, I would have just been like, fuck yeah, Captain Marvel.
Yeah. I mean, for the bits where Carol Danvers was being Carol instead of Veers, which that was like a little reveal that I didn't see coming. I thought that was really cute.
When they showed it, I'm like, I'm so fucking stupid. That's so lame and so obvious. I can't believe I
fell for the other half of her dog tag and it's Carol Dar.
They seem to say like it was, they made it sound like it was Veers, not Vers. That's what that throws you off. Yeah. But it's so obvious and stupid. I'm like, this is so fucking dumb.
I mean, it very much fits in with the way that the Cree names are pronounced and structured. Which is cute and dumb, and I liked it.
Maybe let's structure this a little bit. Let's go with what we maybe didn't think so much of, and then let's end good, because the movie is good movie. So let's end on the good, but let's go with some stuff that maybe you didn't like so much. Go.
Okay, what didn't I love? I didn't love that they changed the name of the cat. Goose is fine, but he's meant to be called Chewy.
I think Goose is a funnier name than Chewy.
I mean, it fits in with the pilot thing, but Chewy... Yeah. Was cute, and it's like, it's not like they don't have the rights to talk about Star Wars. I mean, come on.
I know, like, so the reason why I think Goose is funny, because growing up, I had a friend, and his parents, he had a little sister, and they would call her, like, what are you doing, you goose? Or, like, you know, like, trip over, like, a bit clumsily, be like, what are you doing, you goose? Come on. That kind of thing. So Goose, in my mind, seems like a funnier name for, like, a cat. Because cats are classically not like clumsy and like funny and a goose. So I think that's funny to me. But I know what you're coming from with Chewie, because, you know, Star Wars, it's classic.
The name change, didn't love it. Skrulls being Australian? Why?
I will not hear a bad word against Ben Mendelsohn, my friend. He is great.
Ben Mendelsohn was fantastic, but the choice to make Skrulls Aussie, weird.
Hey, you don't know what their accents are like naturally.
Like, there was the Aussie one, and then there was the nerd one, and those were the only ones we really heard.
The science guy was great. He obviously wasn't very good at the science, but he was great.
I didn't get what the deal was with the, like, sub-Skrulls on the ship, the ones that looked more like monkeys.
Yeah, there seemed like a bit of a caste system going on.
Yeah, I don't remember anything about that from the comics. Like, the whole point is Skrulls are shapeshifters. They can be whatever.
He looked a lot more goblin-y, didn't he?
He did, than Ben Mendelsohn. Like, the Skrull makeup, great. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't mind that.
They looked fantastic.
Yes. I'm trying to think, is there anything else that bugged me about the movie? The underusing of Coulson after going through all that work to backtrack his hairline.
He didn't look like, in the few shots you see him in, he looked a bit like a bit funny because you could tell.
Teeny tiny bit Uncanny Valley, yeah.
But they wouldn't spend the money on him for the few shots he's in to like de-age him properly. Samuel L. Jackson, great. We'll talk about him more when we get to the good stuff because he's clearly great.
I'm just trying to think, like,
I think they underused a few characters.
Yeah.
That's something I wasn't too happy with, but
there was a lot of shifting in the overall kind of construction of the origin of her,
mm-hmm.
which in itself has been restructured recently in the comics, and I won't spoil that, but
I mean, at this point, are we really surprised or upset that the MCU have got something, taken its kind of its core and just twist it like a Rubik's Cube, just like, turn it one face to fit in?
I've got no problems with stuff like making Mar-Vell female.
That fit perfectly fine.
Yeah, that was fine. I can't remember the actress's name, but she was
Annette Bening.
Fantastic. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
As the intelligence and as Lawson/Mar-Vell.
Mm-hmm.
Very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Having it be like a plane engine instead of the Psychomagnetron, which I don't even remember what that was meant to do. I think it was some sort of energy conversion device.
That's probably why they just changed it to engine core.
Yeah.
Easier to get your head around.
And the Sniper Woman is meant to be a sort of science antagonist of Carol Danvers. The name? Miranda or something? Minerva.
Yeah.
Dr. Minerva is meant to be... Yes, yeah. She's meant to be like a scientist adversary of Captain Marvel, or Carol Danvers in particular. Yon Rogg is meant to be more explicitly a bad guy and crazy. Also, I feel Jude like Law they hardly... Good. Oh, he was fantastic.
But he's got, I said to my mate, like, you know, it's a pretty, like, generalized thing, but there's girls that get described as they got bitch face. He's got prick face.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Jude Law's got massive prick face. Role. Yeah, you know he's going to turn and be a prick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yon Rogg's name, I don't think they mentioned it until, like, the last third of the movie.
Yeah, she just offhand just calls him Yon Rogg or something like that.
Yeah, like, I don't think they dropped his name at any point before that. Mm. I do not remember it, because at that point, when they were sort of talking about the plan in the endgame of the movie, I was just like, I don't know who Jude Law is playing. I thought, like, everyone thought that the reveal was that he was going to be Mar-Vell.
I think that was the big assumption. He kept saying, no, I'm not Mar-Vell. And I was like, come on, man. Like, you're Jude Law. You're Mar-Vell. You've got to be.
Yeah. He had, like, the Mar-Vell helmet and everything with the kind of fish spike.
Mm-hmm. So we'll get to that in the good, but I'm counting that as a good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think, like, those were my only real quibbles with it.
I had a couple of things. There was a moment in it that, I feel like it was a pretty big shortcoming, and it was the same one that Black Panther had. There was a bit at the end where the CG was woeful, where she's falling through the sky, and you look at her face, and you're like, that doesn't even look like Brie Larson. Like, it was a really nasty. I looked at it, I'm like, that is fake as hell, and I can't even tell that's Brie Larson. Mm. Why they didn't just take a shot of her, like, in the suit with some, like, wires and stuff and move her around?
Yeah.
I don't know why. It looked real bad to me.
Okay.
Also, how would Carol Danvers know Come As You Are by Nirvana when she was off Earth when that came out? That's correct, right?
I do not know or care enough about music.
I want to see when this was actually released, because I'm pretty sure she was away from Earth when that happened. It came out in 92. I think it was supposed to be like 94, 95 in the movie when things. So that means she left in like 89. So yeah, she would not know that song. So that bugged me as well, but more just to like alright, yeah, that's not a real thing, but let's gloss over that for the fact that it's a cool song. So, you know, cool.
Yeah.
I really thought the No Doubt, Just a Girl, was like a real, like, it was not subtle in any way. It was just like, it punched you in the face. I'm like, ooh,
Oh, that was going to be one of my good points. Oh,
no, I just...
I loved having a fight set to a No Doubt song.
Oh, like, I love the song, but just when that happened, I'm like, oh, geez, that's a... Oh, that's real, like, right. Like, you might as well just played, like, a Spice Girls song.
Right there. Yeah. That would have been amazing.
Oh, man. That just, like, when it happened, I'm like, oh, just, that's a rough one. Up until then, I thought all the music was perfect. And that one just was like, that was a bit funny. But apart from that, like, I think that it would have been nicer to spend a bit more time with some of the characters. Like, I didn't really buy the, like, awesome friendship between the two of them, because I feel like they didn't really, like, get enough time to properly react to her being back from the dead and then, like, properly getting to, like, you know...
Oh, with her and Maria. Rainbow. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't feel that I had enough time to really, like, get back after this, like, what the fuck, you're dead kind of thing. But again, I know that's kind of compressed because you've got time, run time, and you've got to, like, shorten stuff down and stuff. And the other thing that, like, one of my friends, Scott, pointed out as well, that now bugs the shit out of me, is she went from not really knowing even the extent of her powers to, like, I'm in total 100% control of my powers.
Yeah.
And I get the conceit is supposed to be that, like, okay, now I'm freed, like, I'm good to go, and that maybe that now that you're free, you can feel and understand your body and all your powers and stuff like that and how it works, but it just seemed like too much of a jump to, like, ultimate weapon from, like, I've never used these powers before, or barely, and get told off when I do, to, like, I'm now great. I feel like, after Scott mentioned that that was a big jump, I'm like, actually, yeah, that's a pretty big jump.
It is. I mean, I'm sure there's an explanation. It's like, it's the power's intrinsic to her, and she just...
Yeah. I'm sure that's what they're going for, but just, it would seem like just a bit too much of a leap. But, you know, so that's the bad stuff. I don't have any more stuff that I just was like, about. But there's a lot of great stuff about this movie, like Nick Fury. Oh.
Nick Fury, like, humanizing Nick Fury, doing the fake out with losing his eye at the start.
That was pretty funny. Yeah.
It's like his eye's all red and gross, and they're like,
I instantly noticed his eye. I'm like, oh, is this it? Oh, no, it's not.
Yeah. And then just like, he's like, oh, actually, no, it's fine. And then at the end of the movie, the cat scratches him. He says, oh, it's fine. And then the next thing you know, he's wearing an eye patch.
And the best bit, when Coulson comes in, he gives him the pack of eyes. It's like, word is that, you know, they burnt it out because you wouldn't give him the information or whatever.
And I can neither confirm nor deny.
And I like that. That perfectly sets up Fury. Like, that's amazing, that line. So that was really, really good. But yeah, he was great. He was a fish out of water, just rolling with it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed, like, the lighter side. Like, when he sang Mr. Postman. Oh, beautiful.
Mm. Precious summer child, before he realized the winter is coming.
Yes. Protectors. Presemble. It's a good thing you changed that name.
There's a little bit of some people saying, like my friend James, for example, that retcon where, like, the whole, like, oh, you know, he brings the Avengers together, like, Thor is the thing that really wanted me to make the Avengers, but when now they're saying that it was Captain Marvel, I think it's one of those areas where you can kind of just, like, you can take a few liberties and you can jump the connection.
Like, they were just grabbing at the ability to talk about any Marvel characters back then.
Yeah, plus I think at that point you can go, like, well, they don't really know about Captain Marvel. She's obviously a big secret because we haven't heard about her.
Yeah.
Like, you can kind of make that assumption. Therefore, he needed to give them a reason, a contemporary reason, and that's Thor showing up.
Yeah, that's other than a lady with a latex fetish beating up an old lady on a train one time, there's really no coverage of her.
Yeah, exactly. So, there's no cell phones back then, so no one actually would have had the footage of her.
Exactly. It's all fine.
So I think you can make that, like, there's a few steps that are they're wide steps, but you can make that connection. So I think that's all right.
Yeah. Big win for me with this movie was the soundtrack.
The score was great. I loved the score.
Because... like, yeah, the music composed for the movie, fantastic. But all of the 90s songs that I, as a 90s kid, will only remember.
Mm-hmm.
I was really happy with that. The fight with Like a Girl was amazing. Also, the fact that it was just, like, a really, like, messy fight. Like... the bit where someone's on top of her and is like, don't make me do this. It's like going to stab her in the back. And she's like, okay. And just, like, blasts herself backwards.
Yeah.
And the fact that she's kind of... like, I would say in that fight, there were moments where she was using her powers to the full extent and wasn't really getting how powerful she was. Like, she throws herself backwards and all that stuff. But she overcomes and adapts quickly. You know, it's the pilot instinct. She's used to dealing with things quickly, blah, blah, blah.
I still think it's a bit too much of a jump, but yeah.
Yeah. I also really enjoyed the nod to Binary when she went full power.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's her thing. She had another superhero identity, Binary, when she was overcharged with energy.
And like a cool little line, like, you know you're glowing, right? Just stuff like that.
Yeah. It was just very casual. Yeah, so the music overall, the fact that it was a garbage song in the soundtrack, oh, I was so happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's also just nice for me.
They did a good job, not quite as good as Guardians of the Galaxy did with the 80s, but they did a good job for 90s equivalent.
Yeah. It was also just nice for me that I could spend time with my other half and music was involved and actually knew what was going on. Because normally I'm the one going, what the fuck are we listening to? And mm-hmm. here I was just like, I know this, I know this. And a couple of times he was like, what? Because he also is a sweet summer child. So yeah, soundtrack, amazing. I did like Carol's overall attitude. She's just kind of like, yeah, cool. Let's just roll with this. And she's slightly awkward in that she's just like, I'm going to do this thing. Bye. The after credits scene in particular, where she's just like, I'm here. Where is he?
Yeah, I like that end credit scene. I thought it was good. Yeah. Mid credit scene. I thought that was a good lead in. The end credit scene as well, we'll quickly touch on, was, you know, it was cute. I suspected it was going to be Goose related.
It was flirking cute.
Yeah. It was good. Some of the other things I really like. Goose in general was good. He was funny.
Yes. I knew Jackson and the Goose, reveal was coming because I've read the comics.
I mean, but everyone knows that, like, they put too much emphasis on the cat. It's clearly not just a cat. There's got to be more to the cat. And, like, but just the way that Ben Mendelsohn reacted to it, like, Talos reacted to it, it's like, that's not a cat.
Like, that's not a cat.
Like, why have you got this here? Yeah. Get rid of it.
I'm a little disappointed that he got to be the one to identify it as a Flurkin instead of Rocket Raccoon, like in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's just like, get that thing away from me. That's a Flurkin.
This took
like,
time.
It's like, what is that? A space swear? He's like, no, that is a Flurkin. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
There's still time for and some endgame Goose Raccoon action.
Yes. But man, that reveal must have been amazing for folks who had no idea.
I love the Indiana Jones moment where Yon Rogg's like, yeah, fight me properly, like, you know, fist fight.
Oh, yeah,
and she's like, why, Zap? Like, why would you, like, if you want me to fight like that because you know you can beat me, why would I do that? Like, just zap you, dead.
Yeah.
I mean, not dead, gone.
Like, I half expected her to spat a line. I was like, this is who I truly am. But I prefer like...
Yeah, the fact that if she said that, would have been like, oh, yeah, wow.
That would have been, like, too on the nose. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that they went with just like, fuck you, mm-hmm. like, essentially. Go back to space and tell your boss that I'm going to come punch it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to see the Supreme Intelligence for real.
I love that they went with the Skrulls, not the bad guys.
I think
that was a real good touch. It doesn't, people say, oh, well, it shuts down like Secret Invasions. Like, well, it doesn't at all, because they mentioned there's a bunch of factions out there, and of course there's going to be some yahoos that don't want to just save their family and friends, but want to actually like fight this war because they're bitter jerks, just like some of the Kree are.
Yeah.
So it totally, there's still room there for that kind of shit to happen.
Yeah, she is also just legit crazy powerful, and I'm into that.
There was an article on Polygon. It was like 10 questions we have after Captain Marvel.
Oh yeah, I haven't read that yet.
I read it. I'm like, this, like, some people are saying it's got to be a joke, right? Because they're like, oh, we're just happy with Captain Marvel like killing like a bunch of Kree and stuff like that. It's like, but it's like a warship that's actively bombing a civilian population. Like, why are we unhappy about this? Like, and so there's a few questions like that. And like, how did NASA not know that there was a spaceship in orbit? It's like, I mean, it was cloaked.
Yeah.
Like, no one knew it was there. Why would NASA?
It was cloaked and it was the 90s.
Yeah. So that must have been like, had a few in there that were just a bit tongue in cheek questions, because there's some obvious answers there.
Yeah. I do like the idea of like opening up the Skrulls, like, because that could be folded into the next season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Not that I'll know, because I still haven't watched the previous season or half the season before that. But yeah, it opens it up for other teams going into phase whatever we're up to.
There's plenty of options for dropping Captain Marvel sequels in between Endgame and Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Along the way. So...
Also, having Skrulls means that that's another Young Avengers character who's covered off. No, that was Runaways. Never mind. I'm thinking of Zavin from the Runaways.
Yeah.
Yeah, just more options, more types of weird people, and an excuse to say, oh, blah, blah's been a Skrull all along. We could still have the Skrull War. That was the one thing I missed in this film, not having more of like the infiltration stuff.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to see more of them kind of having to detect Skrulls.
What I fucking loved was the opening Marvel
page flips. Oh, the dedication to Stan Lee, yes.
Oh, man. It's just like you're looking at like, oh, it's Stan Lee. And it's like, oh, it's all Stan Lee. Oh, man, that's nice.
And then his cameo was reading.
I'm a massive Kevin Smith fan. That made me so fucking happy to see him like reading the Mallrats script and practicing his lines for Mallrats. So good. So, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything with related to Stan Lee, amazing. I was chatting to my friend James again today. I really hope they do like a really good Endgame one, because he'd done his Endgame and Marvel. Those are his last two.
Yeah. The Endgame one was already in the can as well.
I really hope they give him a bit more. I kind of hope they like dwell on him for a bit, like early on. So that you can
extend the shot rather than just kind of
and have him maybe interact moment. Like it'd be kind of nice for him to like be confirmed as a watcher and basically go like, I know I'm like ruining, like I'm gonna get in trouble for this, like once I've done this I'm done, I'm over.
Yeah.
But then like maybe giving a bit of advice to the Avengers, like to Cap or something like that. Yeah. Where it's just like, you know,
it was
like
Uatu all along,
and basically him just going like, this is what you need, like this is the way you need to go, like this will help. And then you can have him just disappear forever because he's betrayed the like Watchers thing or whatever. But he helped. I think it'd be nice to like extend it and linger on him a bit more.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're coming up on an hour. So final thoughts on the film.
It was good. It's probably not in my top five MCU movies, but it's not my bottom five either. So I think it sits, you know, in the middle-ish.
Yeah. I don't know where exactly it falls in my overall experience of the MCU, but I do know that I want to see it again, which doesn't often happen, like Thor Ragnarok and this.
See, Thor is definitely in my top five. Thor 3.
Thor Ragnarok, yeah.
And Infinity War definitely sits in there because that movie is amazing. But yeah, like it's good. It doesn't bring saying it doesn't bring anything new to the MCU. Like on the surface, it brings a ton new because it's a whole new character, a bunch of stuff, fills in a time gap for a certain little bit. But, you know, it wasn't anything like revolutionary for the MCU. It was a cool little intro. Like half origin story. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I can see it going in good directions. One side note I will mention is that after this, I was like looking at the Wikipedia page for Endgame, and there are two actors who are in undisclosed roles at the moment. Hiroyuki Sanada, I believe his name was, but it seems like he was just a Yakuza getting murdered by Ronin, aka Hawkeye. The other character, however, or the other actor, Catherine Langford, is quite interesting.
Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Hawkeye.
Pretty much. Yeah. Like, have you seen her?
Yeah, she's 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah. So she very much looks like she could be a Kate Bishop.
Yep.
Because if Hawkeye is moving on to his Ronin persona, which took a while in the comics from memory, that leaves space for a Hawkeye, which leaves space for a Young Avengers.
We need a proper Hawkeye movie where it's old grumpy Hawkeye teaching young sassy Hawkeye.
Yes, and they call each other Hawkeye all the time, and it's great, and there's a dog named Lucky.
Yeah, let's do this properly. Come on, Marvel. You got this.
Please.
Base it on Hawkeye, and we're good. Like we want that kind of Clint.
A girl can dream. So yes, good. I would very much like it if that was the direction it was going.
Then you get a Hawkeye movie, but it's old and new Hawkeye.
Yes.
And both are great.
I'm so excited.
Let's hope.
Okay, well, we'll talk more next week about stuff we've been watching and all of that jazz and news, but this has been an hour already, so thanks for listening. Do we want to bother doing the entire outro?
Nah, everyone knows who we are.
No, they don't. thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Well, no one will see anyone. It's a podcast. But yeah, cheers. Final note. Oh, you know what we didn't mention as one of the good points?
What's that?
The fucking Space Hawk. Her helmet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was cool. Her outfit was great.
Yes. Yeah. I loved all of the color references when she was changing it as well. There was Thanos and Iron Man and the classic Captain Marvel white and green. And the disco was just very impressive. So, yeah.
It was good. Go see it.
Go. And buy us more tickets, please.
But for now, it's dinner time.
And I've been hungry. So by endorsement tradition, we'll send you off by going to have dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.